Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening to each and every one. Trust that you had a glorious and a victorious week so far. We thank and praise the Lord for this beautiful day. And this is Apostle Willie Ann Miller. We thank and praise the Lord for you that have chosen to tune in this evening. We thank and praise the Lord for the sponsor of this broadcast, Apostle Armstrong. We thank and praise the Lord for him, a man that's doing an awesome job. And we thank and praise the Lord for the grace that God have given him to fulfill this assignment. And, you know, that's the good thing about the Lord. Whatever God have chosen or called us to do, the grace, the ability, everything that we need, God have graced us to do it. You know, I wish a lot of times when I first started ministry, I didn't have as much knowledge and understanding and revelation that I have now. But I do thank and praise the Lord that the Lord have been merciful and patient with us. We start talking about, we're talking about, do you really believe? You know, and if you go to, I'm going to go right into it because I want to try to get into this teaching and kind of help a lot of us because we live in danger, perilous time. We live in the time when the Bible says many are going to depart from the faith, and he was talking about the believers. Many are going to depart from the faith. They're going to heed the teaching and doctrine of the devil. And, you know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews that it's impossible to please God without faith, you know. And faith is believing and trusting in what God said in his word. If you go to Hebrews 11 chapter, it'll tell us that now faith is the substance of things that hope for and the evidence of things not seen. The Bible also tells us in Hosea 4:6 that God people destroy for lack of knowledge. You know, when I first got saved, I had a lot of questions, and my thing was, God, why people that is saved is not reaping the benefits? Are you not seeing the manifestation or the fulfillment of the promise that you promised us, you know? And there, too, again, I wasn't talking about the whole world. I was just talking about in my little circle, in my surrounding, you know, when I was going to church, we started out in the Methodist church. And I want you to understand, I'm not being little of people because you can't give what you don't know or what you have not. If you don't have knowledge and understanding about something where you can't pass that on to give it to nobody else. But I was curious because when I would read the Bible and see all these things and I wasn't seeing the manifestation, I had a question mark. And God gave me two words, unbelief, because I always thought if you was a churchgoer or you went to church, you was a believer. I also thought that if you was lacking any auxiliary or any committee in the church, you were automatically was a believer, you know. But then the Lord began to show me, you know, what a believer is like, what will take place when you truly believe and trust what the Lord say. And then when I start reading, if you go read the four gospels, if you just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you just read those four chapters in the early part of Jesus' life, when as he walked with those disciples, he was constantly rebuking the people for unbelief. He was constantly talking to them about unbelief. And for the most of the most people that they'll tell you, I believe. And like I said, please hear the Lord today. The Lord is not, and even myself, I'm not being little of nobody. I find out a lot of time, even with ministers, sometimes, especially in the time we live in now, people is so easy to get offended. You said people ignorant that you is so they intelligent, and ignorant just only means you don't know. you know. And the Lord let me know it's nothing wrong with not knowing something. If you don't know, you just don't know, because when it comes down to the Bible, the Holy Spirit has to open up out the eyes of our heart. He has to give us understanding. You cannot understand the Bible with your five senses. And that's why sometimes the enemy can cheat us or deceive us when it comes down to believing and trusting God, because a lot of times what we don't understand or what we can't make sense out of, we just stop right there. Sometimes people just get stuck. But I had to learn when I don't know or understand what's happening in my life, because I'm a son of God, I can trust him with what I don't know. Up under the old covenant, God revealed himself to the people as God. But in this new covenant, we are considered the sons of God. The Bible even declares, as many as led by the Spirit are sons of God. The Bible even tells us in the book of Romans that we've been adopted into the family of God. Now, if you do it, the Romans, what they did, dealt with adoption, if you was adopted by something, by the Romans, they treated you just like the other children. It was no, you know, division, separate. You got the same, you received the same treatment. So there too, again, when we was adopted into the family of God, as you know, the Jews were God's chosen people, and the Bible even tells us in Romans how the Jews rejected the Lord, so he came to the Gentile. Well, a Jew was somebody, you were born as a Jew. If you weren't a Jew, you either was a Jew or a Gentile. Well, I wasn't born a Jew, but I'm a Gentile. But that's why Paul said in Galatians, I believe about in the third chapter, if I'm not making a mistake, he says, nor a Jew or Gentile, nor male or female, nor Greek or bold. He said, we all in Christ, once we receive Christ, we are all one in Christ. And that's why the Bible tells us that God don't have no respect to person. You know, pray, Father, in the Master's name of Jesus, we want to say thank you right now. And Father, we just give you praise. I pray for utterance, God, to give the word that you have placed on our heart. I thank you and I decree that Satan is defeated and Jesus is Lord over this broadcast. I decree the Lordship of Jesus over the broadcast. Those that would tune in, Father, I decree that you would give them ears, understanding, bring enlightenment and understanding and revelation to those that hear. Because you said if we seek to know you, Father, you will be fine. You said if we ask, we can receive. So now, Father, I just thank you and I praise you and I bless you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. As I stated, as when you go and read the four gospels, you will find out he was constantly rebuking those disciples because of their unbelief. You know, he was constantly rebuking them for that. And in this hour in time, as the time grow now for Jesus to come, listen, the battle going to increase. I want you to hear me. The battle going to increase. You know, even in according to St. John 10:10, he said, Jesus said, the thief come but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you would have life and have it more abundantly. That is not going to automatically happen. For years, I had to learn that. A lot of time I'm transparent because, you know, sometimes people think, well, if you one of the fivefold minister gifts, you don't go through nothing. If you a minister, you don't go. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And that's why a lot of time I be transparent. Now, when you go into four gospels, you will find that each one of those disciples or each one of those apostles, they told us and shared with us their experience with Jesus, what they saw and what they experienced with Jesus. Well, guess what? All of us, well, my ministry is Living Epistle. All of us can write an epistle about our relationship with God. Amen. We all could do that. If you're a born-again believer, you know, and as I say, in this new covenant, he is our Father, where God always wanted to have a relationship with mankind. That was his plan all the time, to have a relationship. That's why when the disciple asked Jesus to teach him how to pray, he said, our Father. He began with our Father, and he is a Father. Now, some of us didn't have good experience with our Father. They didn't, you know, didn't do a live up to the standards that we thought a father should be. And I found out, you know, it was hard for sometimes people to see him as Father. The Lord rebuked me one time. He said, you know me as God. You don't know me as Father. You know, when we truly get a knowledge and an understanding that our Father just happened to be God, you know, a good Father, you can sit down and talk to them at any time about anything, you know, and they not waiting to belittle you, always putting you down. People used to think, you know, well, God will put you on a bed of affliction to teach you something. That's not scripture. What earthly parent, you know, I thank and praise the Lord. I have the opportunity right now to spend time with my great grand, and now. My great-grand is 8 months old. Right now, she can't walk. She can't even change her own diaper. She can't, you know, she can hold a bottle, but I have to feed her. Now, I wouldn't try to break her arm or break her leg. I wouldn't break her arm because she can't feed herself, you know. And you know, I have to, when you get saved, you know, thanks be to God for what people do tell her, because I really believe people mean well. Please hear me. But once you get born again, it's really important that you get in the Word and read the Bible and find out what God says about you. You know, right? Understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying you don't take on what people say, but I'm saying you need to read the Word for yourself. And as I stated, as God began to show me this, and I'm telling you, God takes unbelief serious. He takes believing and unbelief, he take it real serious. Okay, I'm going to start in, if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Hebrews, the 3rd chapter and the 12th verse. That's my first scripture, Hebrews 3 and 12. I want to show you because God take this so serious. And as I read in Matthew, the 10th chapter, read it in its entirety. I might go over some of it this evening. But I found out when he gave those disciples authority and power. Well, let me go with this, and then we'll go back to that. Hebrews 3 and 12. Let's go there. We're talking about, do you really believe? Or maybe I should have used the thought, have your belief. Have your beliefs been polluted or contaminated, you know? And I found out that's what happened to some of the characters in the Bible. In Hebrews 3 and 12, he said, in Hebrews 3 and 12, I'm reading from the King James Version, he said, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart or unbelief, and departing from the living God. Now, this was, he was writing and he was telling them the danger of unbelief. Now, if I go up to the 7th verse, he said, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation and the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your father tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Now that right there, preach. If you walk around here and don't have peace, you walk around here in fear, being tormented. Come on, somebody. Mama ain't complaining. Right there, you is not operating in faith. You know, and we as born again believers, we need to be able to discern when we operate in faith and when we not operating in faith, when we operate in believing and when we operate in unbelief. We need to be able to discern that. But this is what he was telling them. And it's amazing how all through the New Testament, even in the four Gospels, those apostles, because they came apostles, those 12, they were constantly referring to the Old Testament. Even Jesus was referring to the Old Testament. You know, he would always refer, and he would constantly let everything that was prophesied about him was fulfilled in the New Testament. All through the New Testament, they constantly were referring back what happened in the Old Testament. And this is what the writer was saying in Hebrews in this third chapter. He was reminding them the danger of getting in unbelief. That's what he was doing. He was letting them, and it's the same with us today. We need to know the danger of when we get in unbelief, when we stop believing God and get in unbelief, because we all can do that. But look what he was saying. He, like I said, I read over it, and he would talk about they had entered into his rest. Going back to that 12th verse, he said, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God." You know, I found out, you know, some a lot of Christians, sometimes they think, and I've been down that road, you can think you really believe in God when you really operate in unbelief. The Bible said all of God, Paul told, all of God promised a yes and amen in Christ. You know, but like I said, even though the disciple at that time that were falling close to Jesus, he was constantly rebuking them about unbelief. 13th verse, I'm still in Hebrews 3 and 13 now. He said, "But exhort one another daily, why it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Okay, I have another verse. Let's go to Luke, the 8th chapter, in the 5th verse. Let's go to Luke 8. And like I said, he constantly talk about this, you know, and it's amazing how you can just, we can start out and, you know, in faith. You know, when I first got saved, I can recall when I first got saved, man, I'm going to tell you the truth, my faith was so high, man, I felt like I could walk through walls. I'm telling you, I would just, it was just out of the world. I'm in Luke 8, in Luke, the 8th chapter. I think that's the 15th verse. Let me go, Luke, the 8th chapter. I'm in Luke, the 8th chapter, in that 50th verse, the 8th chapter. And right here, there too again, as I said, he was constantly rebuking them about unbelief. That's it. He said, "But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Fear not, believe only. And I'm saying, belief play a major part in us seeing the manifestation of the fulfillment of God's promise in our life. And like I said, a lot of times we said we believe in really when we really down. And that's why it's so important. If, you know, the Bible tells us in Mark 11, have the God count of faith and stuff. But you can tell after you done prayed, whether you truly believe in the manifestation of the solution to your problem, the way you talk after you done prayed. And I won't forget when the Lord revealed to me, he said, "I never told you you have what you pray." And that's in Mark 11. if you read them verses in there, he tell you, if you don't doubt in your heart, you'll have what you say. And a lot of time after we done prayed about a situation, if we allow ourselves to be moved by what we see and what we hear, what we see that is contrary and contradicting what God's word say and our emotion, you'll find out how much of faith. Because faith don't have nothing to do with our emotions. But we can take the word of God and bring our emotion under submission to the Holy Spirit. Okay? He's saying in this 50th verse, well, what was going on? So remember, he said someone touched him. And he said, he asked the question, who touched me? And Peter then was saying, a mother to the people, you know. But Jesus understood when he would pray for people, Jesus would sense a virtue, a power will be released from him. So he know that it had to be somebody. Whoever touched him, they touch him with believing. They touch him with faith because they were persuaded. And this is the way Abraham said it, and the writer said about Abraham. He said, Abraham considered himself, considered his body not. And I found out when it come down to truly having faith in God or truly believing God, you cannot take in consideration the situation. You have to take in consideration what the words say. If Abraham and his wife say, well, in the beginning, everybody know when you read the story in Genesis, it tell you how Sarah laughed when the angel was telling Abraham that he was going to give him a son from his own body. At that time, Sarah was considering her body. She would consider, you know, I'm the age I'm at now, ain't no way this can happen. And I find out so many times when we dealing with certain situations, if we ain't really been in that word and been meditating on that word, we're easy prey to doubt and unbelief. Because we're beginning to consider what we see more than what the words say. Okay? But he was telling the right hand, he said in the 50th verse, but when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, fear not. Believe only in she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in. Now, even read that a preacher. Wonder why he didn't want nobody to go. He didn't want doubt and unbelief in there. And I found out a lot of times, and sometimes people might think you rude, especially if it's a family member. If you believe in God to do the impossible, you need to be careful who praying with you who said they praying for you. And I had to learn that. You know, I remember with one of my with my grandson, he'll be 20 now, Joshua. I never forget when he was born, they said he was gonna be stillborn. From the day one that he was born, we got evil report for a whole month. But through fasting and praying, God told her, deliver my grandson. And now everything the doctor said that he would never do, he's doing it, you know. And the thing that's what I'm telling you a lot of times, but then before people know, no, it was five altogether, my son and his wife, and the late Apostle Ida Bear Parker, the late Apostle Joseph Thompson, and myself. We was the only five really know what was really going on with him. And we fast and pray. And God was consistent through the Holy Spirit giving us a rhema word. And in the natural, all we could see, he's not going to recover. He's not going to recover. The doctor was saying it. And we would pray and speak. Every negative word would be spoken over him from the doctor. We will always come against it. But make a long story short, us five, really us four, we fast and prayed for a whole month. We fast and pray for a whole month, and we watch God miraculously heal my grandson. He healed him. If we wouldn't have fasted, we probably would have got with it too. But anyway, my point is this. That's why, like I said, a lot of times when you really believe in God for the impossible, first go to the Word, find out what the Word say. And, you know, I find out a lot of times you have to be careful because you can allow your faith to be based upon somebody's experience other than the Bible or what is written. You know, when I hear people talk about terminal cancer and, you know, certain disease come with a death sentence. But when I go to Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, Matthew 8 and 17, 1 Peter 2, 24, and when I go through the gospel and everybody that came to Jesus, he healed them. And I have heard believers say this. Well, I hope it's God will. Well, you know, so-and-so prayed and they so-and-so, they prayed for so-and-so and they died. Never base your faith, I want you to hear me, on nobody else's experience. Base your faith, your confidence, in what God's word say. You know, a lot of people say, well, maybe what God will to heal them. That's not scripture. Well, Prophet Miller, what about I can hear people saying that. What about all the folk pray and so on that? All I can tell you this thing, God didn't lie. It was no fault of God. God didn't lie. And that's what a lot of time the enemy catch us off guard if we ain't careful. That's where he can't get us at. He'll start trying to say, well, if it were God will, why did they die? And if you ain't careful, you'll cast your confidence away. You'll start doubting God because your faith is based on somebody's experience. No, supposed to be based upon what God say in his word. That's what we supposed to stand on. The Bible declared that God said he's not a man that he will lie, nor the son of man that he will repent. Hath not God spoke it, that God won't bring it to pass. The word that go forth out of my mouth shall not return unto me void. And see, there too again, what is you saying, prophet? I'm saying my faith, and sometimes, like I said, all of us have, ain't none of us excluded from trouble, adversity, affliction, persecution, none of us excluded. But we have to make sure that whatever we believe in God for, God done told us in his word, it's his will. But never let nobody make you doubt that God is in fault. No. It's so many people that cast away their confidence in God. You know why? Because they prayed and they believed God let them down. I had this young lady that called me the other day, and make a long story short, she prayed for about 3 or 4 years about her marriage, and her husband hopped up and left her and got with another woman, all of that. And she said, I just feel like God. I said, you mad at God, ain't you? He said, "Which I said, first of all, you didn't understand, but you don't understand. When it come down to praying for another individual, they have a will. And God is not going to override their will. And that's why sometimes it takes longer when you praying for other people when it come down to the will of God, because they got the will too. If they don't want to, God is not going to force them. You go to Romans, the first chapter. You can read this in this entire, and it said what they know about God, they didn't want to retain it. And God turned them over to a reprobated mind to do what they want to do. And that's something I had to learn. Yes, God is sovereign. But we have to also know that God gave us a will, and God is not going to override our will. He's not going to do that. When Satan calls 1/3 of angels in heaven to go with him, they had a will. Angels have will. God didn't try to make them stay with him. He didn't try to make them stay in heaven. And this was when it come down, and so many people have got frustrated and offended with God because they prayed for somebody, and because it didn't turn out the way that God said it would turn out or what you wanted, and it went the opposite way, what you didn't realize was they had a will. And that when we pray for people, God will continue to show people the right way. As the old saying said, the narrow way. But if they choose not to, That's because they continue to harden down, just like the children of Israel. It wasn't only God's will for them to come out of Egypt, but it was God's will for them to go in and possess the promised land. Well, what stopped? You know what stopped it? They hardened their heart. They got to the point that they didn't want to obey Moses and Joshua. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. They mum and complain all the time. Instead, God did 10 things. The Bible says he brought them out with a strong hand. But they mum and complain. And that's what, and they got, when you mum and complaining all the time, that's a sign you in unbelief. When you get in offenses, let me tell you something. Offenses, doubt, and offenses, fear, and doubt, and all of them related. When you find yourself operating in fear, when you find yourself operating in offenses, doubt, and unbelief, you is not walking in belief. You in unbelief. Yeah, and according to Romans 12, yeah, God gave you the measure of faith. But your faith can be polluted. It can be polluted with offenses, fear. Hear me. Fear, unbelief, and doubt. I'm telling you, these are enemies of faith. Faith have enemies. See, the enemy can't make us do nothing, but he'll get in your situation. He'll get in your circumstances. And then he'll start talking to you, bringing doubts, a discouragement, disappointment. The Bible says, hope prefer or make you sick. If you've been really believing God for something a long time and you ain't keeping yourself in the word of God by encouraging yourself, that is, I encourage myself in the Lord. Sometimes it's nobody that encourages you. The book of Jude to build up your most holy faith by praying in the spirit, praying in your prayer language. See, it's certain things we have to do. The promise of God is conditioned. God have his responsibility, but I have mine also. But this is what he would say. I want you to see that. But it's in that 51 verse in Luke 8 and 51. It says, when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maid. And that was good. That was good. Cause like I said, a lot of times when you really believe in God for impossible situations, sometimes you can't discuss that with everybody. And it's best to find you a mature saint. Somebody that believe like you do. Someone that truly believe and have faith in what God's word say. Because what they do when you get to a mature, they're going to hold fast with you. And the Bible in Matthew 18, he said, where any two touching and agreeing. Really, like I said, we're talking about examine your faith. A lot of saints, y'all get, especially if you've been in a long, stretched out situation and not seeing anything and constantly getting evil report. It's so easy. Y'all, we don't want to believe it, but it's so easy to cast away your confidence in God. Okay? Now, let's go to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 10. I think that's what I want. Let's go to Matthew 10. And for time's sake, I'm going to drop down. I'm going to read the first verse, and I'm going to drop down. I'm gonna drop down to the 17th verse. In Matthew the 10th chapter, it said when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, in that second and third verse, it tell you that he gives you the name of the one that he gave this authority to. Okay? Now, in that 17th verse, I want you to see this here. So this is very important. Drop down to that 16th verse. Drop to 16th verse. Now, here he gave them authority. He said he gave them power. Well, authority against unclean spirit to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, let me tell you something. If you're a born-again believer, you're a disciple of Christ. Well, guess what? You and I have that same authority. Now, you might not be apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, what I'm saying? You can pollute your faith, your beliefs. Yes, you can. You can do that. We can do that. Like I said, we can do it with offenses. Offenses, unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment. Because the Bible said faith worketh by love. And I'm telling you, that's why the enemy, his number one tools against us is unbelief. He know that, God, like I showed you in Hebrews the 3rd, God take that so serious. That's what stopped it. See, the children of Israel, all of them he brought out of Egypt. As I stated, it was his will for them to go in and possess the promised land. They let fear get in. See, these enemies of faith, they begin, out of all that they saw God did, and I'm not being little of them, because I've been guilty too. I think all of us been guilty. Sometimes the greatest miracle God ever did for Prophet Miller was when he saved me. Right there, that faith that he gave me, right there to believe and trust him to save me, that faith would take me on into eternity if I allow it. But guess what? Remember when Paul got ready to depart, what did he say? He said, I fought a good fight. I like what he said, now I finished my course. He said, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. Listen, it's your responsibility and my responsibility is to keep the faith. That's our responsibility. As an act of our will. See, the children of Israel, as an act of their will, they start mumming, complaining, rebelling against Moses. They were constantly complaining about everything God told him to do and all of that. And they even kind of got Moses out of whack for a while. Yes, they did. And that, even with that, I had to learn that as a former pastor, you have to, when you're dealing with people, you know, I got family members sometimes, certain things I can't say. Because I listen to what's coming out of their mouth. I'm telling you, this is so important. Because some saints in this hour, some of them went through so many things in life. They done cash away their company. They done departed from believing. They just go to church because it's the thing to do. Or they done got, you know, addicted to going to church. And they just go just to say, I went to church. Nothing changing in their life. The life's not being transformed. Come on, because somewhere, okay, in Matthew 10, I'm going to drop down to the 16th verse. He said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as a serpent, humble as a dove. Listen, trouble come to all of us. Now, according to Matthew 13, and I think it's Mark, the 4th chapter, it tell us when the sower planted the seed, Amela, which is the word Amela, comes Satan. And how many times, if you're a born-again believer, especially if you're a minister of the God, have you ever noticed when God gives you a revelation or bring some knowledge and understanding or bring a fresh word, as we call it, fresh manna, and you share it, and the next thing you know, trouble just comes. Trouble just show up. I mean, look like everything just want to, look like the floodgates of hell open up. All kind of stuff happening. Well, what the enemy doing, he coming to try to steal that word. And Paul even said, not Paul, but in Matthew 13, he said, he come what? Through the chaos of the world. Now, the Bible tell us in 1 Peter 5 and 7, he said, cast in all your cares upon him, for he cared for you. It's God's will, and cares will choke the word out of you. Then he said, the deceitfulness of riches. You got a lot of people now. Please rightly divide. Understand what I'm saying. Prosperity is God's will to prosper us. You cannot be a believer, one that committed to believing and obeying and keeping God's commandment, giving tithes and offerings, sowing the way God tells you to sow, and you don't experience prosperity. It's impossible. You can't be persistent in doing what God say do, and God don't prosper you. It just don't work that way. But if you are here putting prosperity above in the place of seeking God first and doing what God wants you to do, the Bible says he pursues prosperity and seeks from wisdom. You see, it's first thing first when it comes down to the kingdom. We're kingdom people. But he would tell them, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as a serpent, humbly as a dove. Look at the 17th verse. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the council, and they will slaughter you in their synagogue. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them in the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you should speak, for it shall be given to you. Other words, if you read all the way down, he would tell them, even though I done gave you authority and power to heal the sick, that, you know, I done gave you this authority to heal the sick against unclean spirits, and I'll let you cast them out and heal all manner of disease, even though that you trouble come with it. I found out when you go in Acts the second chapter, after the Holy Ghost came down and the people received him, the ones that he told in the upper room, don't you know it draw persecution and it caused them to scatter. I found out the anointing on my life draw persecution. Yes, it does. The anointing, I mean, I couldn't believe it, you know. But the anointing on you, if you're a born-again believer, you're anointed too. That anointing going to draw persecution. It's going to draw division. Jesus even told him, he said in Matthew, the 10th chapter, he said, brothers shall deliver brothers to death, and the father, child, and the child shall rise against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endures to the end shall be saved. He was telling them the trouble, the things that they were going to have to suffer for being his disciples. And I'm telling you, after born again, and I'm telling you, a lot of time believers get stuck in this. Because like I said, this young lady that called me, she was stuck. And I just don't understand. It just seemed like they prospered, and I'm losing everything. And I said, why are you doing it? I said, first of all, you operate in ignorance, not knowing what God said about you. I said, the Bible tell you in Psalms 37, fret not yourself because the evildoer nor those that work in iniquity are prosper, for they soon will be cut off. And see, a lot of times, some say, if the truth be told, a lot of times, if you don't went through a hard time or experienced some hard time, if you ain't careful, you mad with God. You ought to just come straight to God, I'm mad with you. I'm mad because you didn't do this. I mean, he already know anyway. The Bible says confess. Confess your sins to him. If not that, you can confess it to another mature believer. God showed me something back here, and I didn't realize it. He said, you were offended with me about that. I said, Lord, I didn't know. He said, yes, you were. And he took me back up. I said, Lord, forgive me. You see, the failure is not in God, y'all. It's going to be our way in us. It's not him. And that's why the Bible said we need to study his word. That's why the Bible tells us in Matthew, say we need to seek out the kingdom. Seek out who God is, what God requires from us. But the point I want to show you is how these disciples, when trouble came, it caused them to catch where they comfort in. Now, I'm going to go in. He took this whole 10th chapter after he appointed them or commissioned them and told them what they were going to have to suffer, what they were going to have to endure, what they were going to have to overcome. And then, in this 11th chapter, a good example. It said, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in the city. And now he said, when John had heard in prison the work of Christ, he sent to his disciple and said unto him, art thou he that shall come, or do we look for another? Now, John was the one, when he seen Jesus coming, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, the one that take away the world's sin. God had revealed to John what to look for whenever he see Jesus, what going to happen. And then even after John baptized Jesus, and it said the Holy Spirit ascended on him as a dove. descend on him. I'm sorry, ascended, yeah. But there too again, John had been in prison because he preached against sin. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. A lot of saints have lost their life over the world. And certain people in the world, as one, they done lost their life because of preaching this gospel. And I thought when I got saved and started ministering or preaching the gospel, the good news of Christ, I thought everybody would like me. But I found out I had to deal with people lying on me, people rejecting me. I mean, persecution. And I went through a time period, I didn't know any better. I would try to defend myself. Instead of praying for the ones, that's Bible. He tell us, pray for them that despitefully use you. He tell us to pray. He tell us to forgive them. But see, I would try and defend myself. I would try to chase a lie down. That ain't me. I'm not. No, that ain't what he told us to do. Then the Bible tells us when Jesus revived, he threatened not, but Jesus committed himself to the just judge. And a lot of times, as some born-again believers, they want to go defend themselves. They want to go run up in people's face and confront people. Now, yeah, I hear. Well, then the Bible did tell you. The Bible said if your brother offends you, you go to your brother alone. But if you're trying to go to a born-again believer that operate in their flesh, letting their flesh dominate them, guess what? You need to pray, Father, I forgive them, and I'm praying for their spiritual eyes to come open. You got to pray for them. It have been time. I have had people to come up in my, where the Bible said, and they had attitude when they came. Where the Bible said, if your brother offend you, you're supposed to go to your brother, and you offended me. And I won't forget one time the Lord had, when they did it, the Lord told me, I can recall one time, and the Lord said, Ann, just humble yourself and tell them, if you offended them, you apologize. And that's what I did. And they was really shocked. I said, look, if I offended you, it's never my intention to offend anyone, but if I offended you, forgive me. And I just cut it right there. And they want to keep on talking. I said, like I said. Now, if I would have yielded to my flesh wanted to say, I ain't do that. And that would stop. You see, that's why it's so important that we get acquainted with the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit lead us. Because as he said, in the moment out, he would give us what to say. But like I said, John the Baptist had been in prison. He had got to John. And that fourth verse, he said, it's the third verse, John sent the disciples to his disciples. He said, see, is he the one, or shall we look for another? Jesus answered, said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are clean, and the deaf ears. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whoever shall not be offended in me. John had got offended. Now, and when I first read this, numbers and number of years ago, I said, why Jesus just stop and go? He didn't feel led to go see John. And sometimes, y'all, when we done prayed about stuff, and like I said, the Bible tells us to commit it and trust in him and lean not to our own understanding. Watch that if and why. That'll open the door for offenses. That'll open the door for unbelief and doubt with God. It'll open the door to confusion. I found out God don't only want me just, but God want me to trust him when I don't understand things, when I came, and I had to learn to stop trying to make sense out of everything. Why are they talking about me like that? Why are they doing me like that? See, right there, the enemy wants you to open the door for doubt. No, he wants you to open the door first off for offenses, especially if you've been good to them people and them people start mistreating you. First thing they say, see, if I was you, I wouldn't do nothing else for them. Now, the Bible said faith worketh by love. Faith work by love. And see, all the enemy trying to do is get us out of love. See, the Bible tells us that whatever is not of faith is sin, y'all. A lot of times saints are, they'll get, okay, you commit adultery, you're doing, well, if you're not operating in faith, you in sin too. Come on now. If I'm walking around here in doubt and unbelief, if I'm walking around here in unforgiveness, walking around here with offenses, bitterness, and resentment in my heart, that's a sin. That's a sin in the eyes of God. And what that do, that affect my faith. It will affect your faith. In Matthew 11 and 6, he said, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they depart, Jesus began to talk to the other ones that were with him about John the Baptist. But see, my point is, I wanted you to see that, because we got a lot of saints. You started out with faith, but because the persecution, the affliction, some of the things that you done went through in life, you cast away your covenant. You done got in unbelief. You offended with God. I did this and I did this. God, why you ain't doing? You know how we do. But see, that's what flesh does. And the enemy always want to give you and I a reason to be offended with God. Don't you know, when we doubt, when we walk in unbelief, it's an insult to God. Because according to God's character, God is just. He's a God of integrity. A lot of times, it's easy to remember scriptures. It's easy to quote these. But when adversity comes, when affliction, when persecution show up, the way I respond, the way you respond, it'll let us know whether we operate in belief or unbelief. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. God showed me one time in my life. He said, "You ain't been keeping my commandment. You ain't been doing it." But there too again, I'm grateful that the Holy Spirit convict me. That's what now. See, here's the difference between condemning and conviction. The Holy Spirit don't condemn me, but He will convict me. You know, and once I confess it and acknowledge, Father, yes, I did that. I'm guilty. Forgive me. For God concerned, it never happened. Now, an enemy will continue to want to bring guilt to you. About, oh, you remember what you did? You know, you did this, and you did this, and you did this. And you. He'll continue to want to torment you about something. But why? The Bible said, cast down every imagination and every thought that exalt itself above the knowledge of God. And we have to do that. I'm going to continue with this because I want you to see this. Because when I go to, I think it's Matthew the 17th chapter, in Matthew the 17th chapter, when the man son, and he took him to the disciples, and they couldn't do nothing. Now, between Matthew 10 and when he got to Matthew 7, something happened that their faith had got contaminated. And they weren't able to do what Jesus commissioned and gave them authority to do. And some of you, you know your faith is not affected like it used to be. And you need to go back and say, Lord, Holy Spirit, reveal to me what have I allowed to contaminate my faith? What is hindered my faith from being affected. The Bible said, "Effected from the prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And one of the first things is you walking in disobedience. A better yet, are you walking in rebellious? Well, we know what the Word tell us to do, and we not doing it, y'all. That's disobedient. That's walking in rebellious. Come on, somebody. I know one time the Lord told me to go somewhere, and I didn't go. And I stayed at home, and the Lord showed me I was in rebellion. He said, that sacrifice mean nothing. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to start, and we're going to pick up in that Matthew the 17th chapter. But we're talking about examine your faith. Examine it. Do you really believe? Have you allowed your belief system be contaminated? And it's hindering you from seeing the fulfillment of what God promised you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you again for your word today. I thank you for those that listen. And even after we go off the air, Father, I pray you continue to bring enlightenment and understanding to them. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to stop right here because that's one of the things that we're going to have to start doing, stopping 5 minutes before our time. And if I start now and get into practice, it'll be easy. Again, this was Apostle Willie Ann Miller. I trust the word was a blessing to you. Enjoy the rest of your evening.